Many of you are asking about how do we register for the Freedom Conference coming up with Bill Suddeth. We want you all to come to it. You can register tonight in the foyer with Jenny after church. She can register you there. If you don't know how to go online and do that, then she can help you that right here and take care of that for you. We're asking for $10. If you can do that tonight, you don't. If you can't do it tonight, still register. That's fine. We need to know how many people are coming. That's just so you can have a Chick-fil-A dinner Saturday and everything's provided. So that's what that's for. It's always a joy to have the men of Casa Hope with us. They are mighty men of God. Mighty men of God. Very proud to know them, be associated with them. And as our church, we support them a small amount each month. And we're glad to do it. And we're very proud of their ministry. I'm coming out there tomorrow night, too, to be with you guys. So we're looking forward to being with you. Thank you. Yeah, always enjoy. Yeah, it has been a while. It has. Too long. Thank you, my brother. Zane, why don't you come up here and just give a brief testimony about your life. Tell us a little bit. Huh? No, you don't have to put your jacket on. You're fine. You're fine. Welcome, Zane, everybody.
Well, howdy, everybody. My name's Zane. I'm going to try to slow it down for y'all because I talk real fast and I have a little bit of an accent. All right, so as he introduced me, my name is Zane Bell. I am a soon-to-be graduate of Casa Hope. It is a men's ministry. It's a discipleship program. So a little bit about what we do is we get men from prison or men that were addicts or just not living right, and we bring them in and we help them become not just good guys but God guys. We help them re-enter society and become people that we help them become godly men. You know, me as I'm gonna give you a short testimony about myself. I a year ago I was in active addiction, and I came down to Florida and I got clean and sober, but I was still an addict. I was just not using drugs. That might not make sense to y'all, but all right, good. I don't have to explain it then. So luckily, Casa Hope found me. I didn't have to find them. They accepted me into the program, and since New Year's Eve, I've been in Casa Hope, and it's completely changed my life. I've learned more character. I've got morals. I actually learned how to make my bed. That was pretty awesome. You know, we get fed like 3 meals a day, and like that's amazing. I put on a little weight. That's pretty great. But that's besides the point. Like, you can get that anywhere. You can get that at any halfway house. But this is so much more than that. This is a discipleship program. I've gotten more word here than the common Christian gets in most of their life. We get more church there than the common Christian gets in their life. We have pastors that come and pour into us. Like Pastor Gary here, he taught a class the beginning of the first, 4 or 5 months that I was there. And we have godly men that pour into us all the time, godly men and women. And it's just really amazing. Like, being there, I've gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've decided to give my entire life to the Lord. I've decided I'm going to become an evangelist. And through all that, I've found out that, you know, if you don't put God in everything, then you're really still in His glory. So everything that I say I've done is really He's done through me. He's done to me, and He's done for me, and I give all the glory to God all the time.
Hold on. How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
20 years old. Now, I heard you say you're becoming an evangelist. There's something wrong with that.
Why is that?
Because you are an evangelist. You're just becoming better at it, see? It's like when God calls you, He doesn't call you, you're becoming an evangelist. He says, you're an evangelist. Okay. And then He trains you. through life experience, okay? And as an evangelist, when I heard that, I said, wow, okay, I like evangelists because evangelists know how to reach people. And you certainly have a gift of personality, and you're able to talk with people, and you're confident about the Lord. And I want to put some of these cards of Grace Tabernacle in your hand so that as an evangelist, you just go up there and invite strangers to church here, okay?
I have no problem with that.
You have no problem.
I have no problem with that. That'll be easy.
That'll be easy.
Can I get a couple more?
You can get a whole bunch out there, okay? All right.
I have a front pocket. I'm not sure. Sorry,
that's all right. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
See, an evangelist, it has to be spontaneous, too. You just got to be ready. In season and out of season, right?
Amen.
Amen, brother. Proud of you. Love you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Amen. I want to hear some more from these men. We might just have to have a night or a Sunday where we get to hear their stories. They got some stories. I mean, they got some stories of what the Lord can do. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a word that I believe the Lord gave me to share with you tonight. And it's Psalm 37, verse 4. You heard a little bit of it last week. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Say that with me. All right, now let's ask, what does that look like? When you do this, when you delight yourself in the Lord, what does that mean practically? What does it look like? I just want some feedback. He's number one in your life no matter what? Okay, that's what. Okay,
all right. It's hard to do, but.
Okay, okay. Somebody else, what does it look like when you delight yourself in the Lord? You put yourself in synchronization with God.
Okay.
All right. Somebody else. Praising Him always. Okay. Go ahead. Shout it out.
Give Him all your heart, not just a part of it.
Give Him all your heart. Not a part.
Yeah, because if you only give Him part, He doesn't want it at all.
Okay. Somebody over there. Okay. Love. Teach you how to love. A lot of different things here. I want you to think about that for you. What does it look like in your life when you are delighting yourself in the Lord? For you. Not for anybody else, not for show. What does it look like? I did a little cross-reference study on that. Looked in Job chapter 22. You don't need to turn there. Cross-reference for this particular verse in my Bible with Job 22. And it kind of laid out some things that if you delight yourself in the Lord, this is what it will look like. Number one, you'll receive teaching from His mouth. In other words, you'll hear God. You'll know He's talking to you, and you'll receive teaching from the Lord. Number two, you'll lay up His words in your heart. In other words, you'll treasure the things that God's showing you. You'll treasure when you know the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. You'll meditate on that. You'll think about it. Number three, you'll put away iniquity, self-willed sin, obviously. It says, then the Almighty will be your gold. Then you will delight yourself in Him. Now, that was one cross-reference for delighting yourself in the Lord, trying to expound on a little bit more. Now, there was another cross-reference, and I thought this was kind of unusual until I meditated on it and I saw the value of it. And the other cross-reference for Psalm 37, verse 4, is Isaiah 58, verse 14. And it says this, if you will honor the Sabbath, and we would say the Lord's day, by not doing your own pleasure, then, everybody say then, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. So here he's making something real clear, okay? He's not talking about legalism and Sabbath keeping like the Jews or Seventh-day Adventists. What he's talking about here is that if you'll make a day in your life very special to where on that day you seek to delight yourself in the Lord, you seek the things of the Lord. You spend time with God on that particular day. and you place his desires first in your life, above your own desires, then you'll be delighting yourself in the Lord. With my son being home from prison, I've noticed, and by the way, he got a job. That's why he's not here tonight. So thank God he got a job. We were very thrilled for that. And with him being home from prison, I noticed there's so many things that I want to do with him. He's been away for 5 years. And actually been, you know, not with it because of drugs longer than that. So we've lost a lot of precious time that we would have had together. And so there's things I notice while he's now, we sit down, we talk, we have coffee, we chat, and we talk about things we want to do. I want to take him fishing. I want to take him to Living Waters. I want to go camping with him. I want to go hiking on some trails with him. I want to do some things with him that over the years we lost. The devil stole. The locust came and ate the crop. But God's restoring. And so it's in my heart now. I want to show him these things. I want to teach him these things. I want to take him some places. I want to have some experiences with him. And as I was thinking that, the Lord spoke this into my heart. He said, Gary, that's the same way I feel about you. There's so many things I want to experience with you. There are so many places I want to take you. There are so many truths I want to teach you. There are so many things that I want to do with you. And he says that about you too. But when you place other things, other desires ahead of your relationship with me, you're losing out on the things that I want you and I to experience together. That's what he's talking about the Sabbath. That's the principle. Put God's desires first. Put God first. And then he'll put those desires in your heart that he wants you to have. And you'll have experiences together that'll be so precious, it'll be your gold. And then I read about David. David's the one they believe wrote Psalm 37. And they believe that he wrote it in his old age. So he has learned the value of things after he's lived a little bit, after he's had some experience. He's learned what really is most important in life. Not chasing the dollar, not chasing a reputation, chasing a career, all those things have their place, but what's really most important. And he's learned, and through the Holy Spirit, God spoke through David's heart to write down these words, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He had David write that, of all people. Now, your heart desires cannot be trusted, unless you're delighting yourself in the Lord first. My heart desires can't be trusted unless I'm delighting myself in the Lord first. For example, David was doing this, and when he penned this, when he wrote this, delight yourself in the Lord and God will give you the desires of your heart, he had an incredible desire came over him. He said to his pastor, who was a prophet, Nathan, he said to him, I have this incredible desire to want to build a house for God. We have the tabernacle tent out there where the Ark of the Covenant is, and I'm dwelling in this house made of cedar planks and everything. But I want to build a house for God. And he expressed that to Nathan. He said, Nathan, this is what I believe that God wants me to do. And Nathan the prophet said to him, he said to David, because he knew David was delighting in the Lord, he said this to him. He said, David, do whatever's in your heart, because you're delighting in the Lord. Do whatever's in your heart, because the Lord's with you. Would you say that out loud with me right now? Do whatever's in your heart because the Lord's with you. That's what Nathan the prophet told him. But later, a little bit later, God spoke to Nathan the prophet and told him, even though this was David's desire, God never told anybody to build him a house. God told Nathan. Instead, God said, you tell David, I don't want him to build me a house. Instead, I want to build him a house. God is so generous. He's so giving. He says, you tell David, I don't want him to build me a house. I want to build him a house. Now, here's a point you got to grab hold of. David had this desire. He was delighting himself in the Lord to build God a house. This desire was not evil. It was not wrong. But it teaches us something very important. It teaches us that we should not act upon every good desire that we have. We need to wait upon the Lord for clarification. Now, after Nathan told David this, this is what David did. 2 Samuel 7:18. Say it out loud with me. Then King David went in. That's what David did. Had the desire to build God a house. Nathan came back to him and said, God doesn't want you to build a house. Well, what do I do with this incredible desire I have, God? You come in and you sit before the Lord and you wait. You don't act upon every good desire. Are you listening? Even though it may sound good and you may be convinced it's certainly God's will, you don't act upon every good desire. You don't live by an impulse. You have a desire. You want to help somebody. You want to give somebody money. You know that. That's all good and well. But wait upon the Lord. It's not an evil desire. It's not a bad desire. But you bring it before the Lord. What is David doing? David is soaking. He's sitting before God. He's making his emotions, his thoughts settle down. He's being still in solitude. He's meditating. He's listening. He sat before the Lord. This is how David delighted himself in the Lord. You want to know practically how he delighted in it? This is one of the ways. Yes, he wrote songs. He played the guitar. He danced before the Lord. He was a worshiper. But here, what is he doing? He's bringing his heart. He's bringing his desires before the Lord, and he's sitting down before the Lord, waiting, being still. Bible says in Proverbs, we may make our plans, but God directs our path. It's good to plan. Nothing wrong with making plans. You ought to make plans for your life. But don't be so hardened about your plans that you're going to press on through something when God may want to modify the plan. God may want to tweak the plan. God may want to change some things. Are you with me? How do you know you're delighting yourself in the Lord? That's a good question. One of the ways you'll know you're delighting yourself in the Lord is the Lord will help you accomplish what He wants you to do. And you'll see it. Just like tonight, I was looking up there. There's just two musicians up there. And they got beautiful sound. Two musicians. One guy playing a guitar. Another guy playing the conga drum, I guess, and a television box or whatever that thing is. And getting incredible sound out of it. And I'm saying, Lord, thank you. You helped us tonight. You helped us. We need help. We need more musicians. We need people that can help us with things. And God sends us help. He sends us help just when we need it. And out of the blue, there we got two musicians there and helping us to worship tonight. So one of the ways you know God, you're delighting in the Lord, is that God's helping you to do what you're doing. And what you're doing is not really, you're not straining and pushing and trying real hard to make it happen. Now, there's labor involved, And there's effort involved, don't get me wrong. But when the Lord helps you, you know he's helping you. I know the Lord's helping me. Because otherwise, this would be real hard. He's helping me. So the Lord helped David wherever he went. You could put your name in there when you delight yourself in the Lord. The Lord helped Laverne wherever she went. The Lord helped Paul wherever he went. The Lord helped Zane wherever he went. The Lord helped Tryphonie and Johnny wherever they went. He helped them. And they'll know it. So when we do God's will, God's way, he helps us. Would you say that out loud with me? You need to get that. You need to get that. Remember Sunday morning I shared with you there were four Levites that carried the 565-pound Ark of the Covenant made of gold. It's heavy. A little bit more than that with the staves in there, the poles. They carried it on their shoulders. That's a lot of weight, even for strong young men, and especially carrying it long distances. But the scripture made it very clear in 1 Chronicles 14, 15, 26, because God was clearly helping the Levites as they carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. God was clearly helping them. People knew. They didn't get tired as fast as you would if the Lord wasn't helping you. They had joy in their step. When God helps you do something, you know it. Can anybody raise your hand and say, yeah, I know. When God has helped me, I know it. He helped me financially, I know it. When he helped me with my health, I know it. When he helped me fix a car, I know it. When he helped me to witness, I know it. When he helps me to minister, I know it. I know when the Lord helps me, and I also know when he doesn't help me. You should know the difference. And when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, putting God's first, putting what he wants first rather than your agenda, rather than your desire, you can be confident he's helping you. And then you quit worried about the outcome. How's this going to turn out? I don't care. How's it going to turn out? I don't care. That's none of my business. How's this going to turn out? I don't care. If the Lord is helping me, I'm doing what God wants me to do. He's helping me. I'm doing my job. It's none of my business how it turns out. However he wants it to turn out. Now, listen closely. David's commander of his army was named Joab. He was in charge of David's army. And when David was king, there were still a lot of battles going on. There were a lot of enemies to deal with. One time, Commander Joab went out to battle and to face, I think it was the Ammonites. And he's going into battle knowing that they're a pretty fierce army. But not only when he goes out to face them, he finds out there's another army, another group of people that are coming up behind him. So now not only does he have to battle in front, but he's got to battle behind. And he tells his commanders, his lieutenants underneath him, he says, now half of you go over here and fight this bunch. Half of you go over here and fight this bunch. And if they start to prevail on us over here, then some of you come over here and help us, and we'll do the same for you. He had a plan. He didn't just walk out there blind. He had a plan. Are you with me? Say, have a plan. Better to have a plan than no plan. He had a plan. Okay? So he goes into this thing, and before they get into battle, he tells his men, here's his pep talk. The general gives his men. He says, now, men, be strong and fight with resolve. And then he says these last words that show me that he has an amazing trust in the Lord. And when I read this past week, just reading my Bible through, it just grabbed my attention. And here's the words he said.
May the Lord do what seems good to him. Let me ask you something. Was he concerned about the outcome? No. No. May the Lord do what seems good to him. He's resting. He's trusting. Now, he's at a plan. He's working. He's doing what he knows he ought to do. But he must know the Lord's with him. Because he says these incredible words, and the Holy Spirit liked it so much that he wrote it down in the Bible for us to read. May the Lord do what seems good to him. If we live, we live. If we die, we die. Are you understanding what he's saying? Without knowing how things are going to turn out. He just did what he knew he had to do, and he rested the matter with the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. The same thing God's wanting you to do right now with some matter. Do what you're supposed to do, but in the end, rest the outcome with God, and you just say over it, now may the Lord do what seems good to him, and rest. He trusted God with the outcome. He trusted in the goodness of God, which I was amazed tonight. One of the songs that we sang, Grayson, by the way, thank you for that, was about the goodness of God and trusting the goodness of God. And here's Joab facing an enemy in the front, an enemy behind, doesn't know how it's going to turn out. But he's trusting God's goodness to decide the outcome. He rested in God. And you've got to know and you've got to believe that God doeth all things well. And that's how you dwell in the secret place of Psalm 91, by believing that. God doeth all things well. And I don't know what the outcome's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But the end of the matter is not up to me. I just say, may the Lord do what seems good to him. Just practice that with me right now because you're going to need this week. May the Lord do what seems good to him. Just get used to saying that. And rest the matter. Yeah. Why is this verse in the Bible? Because you and I are going to face battles and challenges where we do not know how it's going to turn out. If we strive, God can't help the arm of flesh. But if we do what we know we should do and we realize God's helping us, then we can rest and knowing that God will make things turn out however he wants to turn out. And we'll be good with that. Saturday, we had in our neighborhood, we had planned for some time a neighborhood street cookout for all of our neighbors. And this is the second time we've done that. And it's good. We get to meet our neighbors. They come over. We cook out in the yard. We set some chairs up and grill and things like that. Well, the thing had been planned for several months, and a lot of people responded saying, yeah, they're going to show up more this time than last time. So we were really pleased and excited about it. And it was planned for 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was wondering if how many of you are aware of what goes on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon lately. Yeah. Well, rain was forecasted, and we were going, oh, boy, now what do we do? Do we cancel this thing? Do we call it off? What are we supposed to do? So we pray, Lord, we take authority over this rain, command it to stop, and we do all the stuff that we know we're supposed to do as Christians, you know. And we kept the event going on, and 3:45, the rain started. I got the chair set up. I got the tables out there, I got the grill, and I had to run to the store to get some ice, and as soon as I'm in the car, raindrops, blump, blump, blump. Now, Lord, you can do something about this. And I started to think, oh, man, Lord, this is just going to ruin a great opportunity because we're trying to reach our neighbors, we're loving on them, we talk about you, we pray and play Christian music and have some fun. This is just not going to be good, God. And then just then, as I was in the car and starting to whine a little bit, The Lord reminded me of this verse that I had read, I think it was that morning. May the Lord do what seems good to him. I used it. I said, okay. Then, Lord, I cannot determine the outcome. If you want it to downpour, then so be it. If you want lightning and thunder, you want cats to fall down out of heaven. I don't care. I'm not going to pray the rain away. I'm just going to say, may the Lord do what seems good to him. And I said that out loud. And I rested the matter in his hands. And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of hoping after I said that, maybe God might just going to stop the rain. Be it unto you according to your faith, son. But it didn't happen. It rained harder. I came home from the store with the bags of ice, pulled in the driveway, and there's cars in the driveway. And a lot of these people pulling up, and the rain's going like crazy, and our garage door's open. So they're all in our garage. Now, we're supposed to be out of here over here with the chairs and they're all in our little, my junky garage. I got junk in there. I got stuff that I've been trying to throw away. Pam won't let me throw away for years. And if you know what a garage looks like, typically, that's what it looks like. And here, I got all in my garage, and it's raining. And so they had their plates of food and things like that, and so Pam said, well, come on inside, everybody. Come on inside the house. You know, and there's a bunch of people. And our house is not that big. So they all come inside. We crank up some music. We had a blessing. Welcomed them all. Glad they're here. And people just sat down wherever they could find a place to sit down, and they ate. And for about an hour, we were stuck in the house because of the rain. But it caused a lot more close fellowship. And people got to know one another. People were laughing and talking and sharing and all of this. And after about an hour, the rain stopped. Well, now we can go outside. We had those cornhole things set up. You know, you toss the bean bags in and just to play and have something game to go. And went outside, wiped off the chairs. People came out there and they sat down, played the music. We had the games going, and what started at 4 o'clock didn't end till about 9 o'clock at night. People didn't go home. Now, what am I telling you all this for? I could have got all worked up in a huff and all, frustrated and fussing and cussing the devil and doing all the stuff we do, and it wouldn't changed one thing. I'm just thankful the Lord showed me this verse that I'm showing you that I suspect you're going to need to use this week somewhere. May the Lord do what seems good to him, and now rest. Now step back. With every interruption, every disappointment, every surprise, unexpected things happen. The first words out of our mouth this week, because you came here on Wednesday night and got something, should be, may the Lord do what seems good to him. And you not get in a huff, you not get anxious, you not get worried. Now, sometimes issues of life are a lot more serious than a rainstorm messing up your party. But the principle is still true. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Horrible. An innocent baby was born. The baby was struck by sickness, disease, dying. David went to fasting. He prayed. He wept. He cried for the child to be spared. He said, who knows? Maybe the Lord will be gracious. Who knows? Maybe God will change his mind about this. And then the child died. And what happened next surprised everybody around David. Scripture says,
David entered the house of the Lord, and what did he do? He worshiped. He then went to his own house, and he ate food. Baby sick, dying, who knows, maybe the Lord will be gracious. He fasted, he prayed, he did everything he could do. He could do everything he could possibly do, and the child died anyway. So when David worshiped, it was meaning that he was surrendering to the sovereign will of God to be done. And he was okay with that. He was saying, and he was living this verse, may the Lord do what seems good to him. He was living it. May the Lord do what seems good to him. When you delight yourself in the Lord, the scripture says God will give you the desires of your heart. It does not mean he'll give you everything you want. It means he will change your heart to accept his will is good and best, even when I don't understand it. And so when you say these words and you mean it, we release ourselves from tension. We release ourselves from expectations. We release ourselves from striving. We release ourselves from stress. And we release ourselves into God's rest. Would you stand to your feet? Would you say it out loud and mean it? May the Lord do what seems good to him. Now think of some situation in your life right now, maybe a trial that you're in, maybe an issue you have with somebody, maybe a medical test that you're waiting for results, maybe financial issues where you're struggling. Now, you should plan. You should do what you know the Lord wants you to do. You should expect God to help you if you'll do it His way. But ultimately, the end of the day, you're going to have to come to this place right here. And you're going to have to lay it down and trust God. One more time, say it with me as a prayer. May the Lord do what seems good to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.